This is Richard Uzel. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board Coordinating Committee, and we are meeting in our monthly meeting tonight. Brenda Medina is our secretary, and I'll ask Brenda to call the roll, please. Thank
you. Okay. Teresa Allen?
Okay. She said she will be late. She said she'll be late because she had another meeting that she would try to call in as soon as she could.
Okay. Let's see. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Okay. And then I'm here, Brenda. Heather?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, great. And then Summer Reeves?
Present.
Okay. And then I have Raul Saldor?
Here.
Okay. And then I have, and Richard Uzel.
I'm here.
And
we also... Sorry.
Am I missing anyone else?
And Margie? Did you call Margie?
Oh, I'm sorry. Margie.
I'm here.
Margie Wilkinson.
I was waiting.
My mistake. Sorry, I'm not in front of my computer.
No problem.
And I think that Katia Stitt is in our committee because she sent me an email and said that she may can get in late, but she was at WTFW's finance committee meeting working on their budget.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. That's seven. That's a good quorum. I don't have anything on the agenda other than our discussion about video and phone conferencing. Did anybody else have anything else they wanted to add to that?
I'm sorry, my background is noisy. Can you repeat the agenda?
I can hear you. What?
Can you repeat the agenda?
Oh, only thing that I have on it is our conversation about the video and phone conferencing.
It's not a motion, but we got to do something about the length and pace of our meetings. Frankly, there's no reason why our monthly meetings have to last 2 weeks.
Is that music or a freeway or something? I don't know what that is in background. I can't hear what you're saying.
I'm outdoors. I'm muted. Did you guys hear what I said before I did that? Hello?
Yeah, this is Richard. I couldn't hear, understand what you're saying. I think you said something about that we spice up our meetings or something like that.
Yeah, the board meetings. There's, you know, these are supposed to be, theoretically, monthly meetings with a backup date for a continuation. But it's become essentially two meetings a month. And it's true that there's a lot to do and a lot to discuss, but surely our meetings can be run more efficiently.
Well, I know that Summer and I try to keep the meetings moving along. It's just slow business. I don't know. Do you have a suggestion? No. Okay.
I try to mute when I'm in a particularly noisy patch of the noisy patch that I'm in. But I don't have a specific motion, and we don't even necessarily have to discuss it tonight. But you know, something has to be done.
I don't disagree with that. I guess maybe we talk less and pass more motions and get on to business. I don't know.
Richard, this is Margie. I just want to suggest that maybe we just have a, you know, a brainstorm, that we just talk about it and see if people, let's hear what people's concerns are and see what, if anybody has any ideas about solutions.
Okay, that's okay with me. I'll add that to our agenda, and in fact, if you want me to, I'll put it first, and we'll just carry on. Is there anything else to add to the agenda? Also, we have, Brenda, do you have Bennett tonight?
No, I do not. I haven't really had access to proofread the minutes. So I'll be making sure to send that out to folks before the next meeting. And in addition, I can't really take minutes tonight just because I'm driving. So I'll try to capture as many notes.
They'll be recording when you get it.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's nothing else that anybody wants to add to the agenda, that's our agenda. Is there any problem with approving that?
Richard, on the agenda, this is just, it will be all a part of the discussion of the video conferencing or whatever, but I do want to be able to make reference to the email I just sent out to folks about California code. So that will be a part of the discussion, right? I just want to make sure that's the case.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay, that sets our agenda, and Brenda tells us we don't have minutes to do, so let's go right back to our conversation. Margie, you want to start the conversation since it was yours and Serene's idea, I guess?
Well, let me ask. I mean, what I'd really like to do is hear how Summer feels about it, because I feel like chairing these meetings must be terribly frustrating. And, you know, I have all kinds of – I have ideas, like – Hello?
Yeah.
I wish we would have written reports in advance, and I've heard from Summer and other people that that's not realistic because of Summer's time, and I'm wondering if there's, like, another way to do it. Is there somebody that Summer could talk to who could send out, like, sort of rough notes about what she's going to report on so that we have that information before the meeting starts? And I don't mean, you know, just before the meeting starts, but say 12 hours before the meeting starts or something. I don't know. We had this discussion early on when I first came onto this committee, and I don't feel like it really went anywhere. I feel like, you know, part of the factionalization is that everybody thinks that the people in the other faction or the other factions, they sort of morph sometimes, is responsible for this, and people don't feel like they're more responsible than, and I certainly don't feel like I'm more responsible than other people, and so it's hard to sort it out because it's all mixed up with the factional divisions and, you know, people being suspicious of other people and questioning other people's motives, and I feel like I don't know what the answer is, but I'm sure I'm not the only person who finds the PMB meetings incredibly frustrating, and I'm always just stunned at how little work we get done in the course of a three-hour conversation. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, this is Summer, Richard.
Yeah.
Hi, and I'm sorry, Margie, I was taking another phone call when you started in on that. I think you were talking about written reports part of the meeting. Is that correct?
That was one. I said that was one of the ideas that we talked about early on, and I was...
Sure. I want to say something for the record. My predecessor supplied very few written reports for three straight years. The person before that, very few written reports. I've supplied at least as many written reports as anyone before me, and when I supply a dozen items with written narratives that accompany them, they're not counted as reporting anything to the board. I receive no feedback. I get no constructive anything. Nobody ever brings anything up again. I understand what you're saying, Margie, but My birthday was on Sunday. I spent it working and driving between the two signal areas. I don't get a day off, and there's just, I don't know what to say. You know, I've got, everybody's upset because there isn't more of me to cover more jobs that we don't have filled by other people. And when I do send out a ton of written stuff, people act like I didn't send them anything. And I don't know how to make the meetings more productive. I do understand the desire to have more things in writing. And when I respond to things in the moment, when people ask me questions, then they're upset that there wasn't a written report, even though I didn't know that particular question was going to arise. I can send more things more frequently. I can't guarantee that I am going to be able to send more written reports more frequently, frankly. But I do wish when I sent documents that were specific to things that are going on and decisions that have to be made, I never get any feedback really on them from anybody. So I'm not sure that anyone really, I don't know that people are really even looking at them and giving them consideration, because I don't see any change like at the next meeting that shows that people have really reviewed stuff and are ready to talk about it. And I think one of the biggest things, at least in my perception, as to what's wrong with our meetings and their lack of productivity, I agree the factionalism feeds into it a great deal, but I mean, I can't tell you how disturbing I found it to spend 50 minutes on amending the agenda of a continuation meeting the night before I had to go in and deal with laying off people and a union meeting, and the fact that I then had to stay up for another 2.5 hours. We have no legal resources whatsoever. So in order to be able to give the employees any guidance at all on what their unemployment benefits might be, I had to do the research. And I wish we would spend the time productively on these meetings. I think they feel like a great time sucker to everyone, to, you know, because we do this every 2 weeks, and we spend approximately 25% of every meeting with people simply moving agenda items around, not actually even discussing the agenda items. And that's like every single meeting. And you can't, you know what I mean? It's not any one person. It's not even one faction. It's everybody collectively participates in this madness. So I'll do what I can, Margie, at my end. But I think in terms of what actually happens on the meetings, there are things on there that have been on there for 2 straight years on that agenda. And everything's on there every single week. And nobody comes any more prepared to make their arguments in support or against agenda items, but they do come prepared to move things around so that it takes a really long time not to get to them. And that, I think, is a big part of our problem. So I will work on what I can at my end, but really there's only so much even I can get out of me at this point. You know, I'm going over the tax returns. I'm having to find, you know, I'm done. I hope we can all use each other's time more effectively on the meetings themselves, and I would say that starts by just getting to the darned agenda items and voting them down if we disagree with them. So,
this is Brenda. I'd like to be on the stack. Chair.
Brenda, okay.
Well, can you guys hear me?
Hi, Serene, all right.
Yeah, I'll wait until Brenda's done. Thanks.
So a couple of things. I think one of the first things that we should do as a coordinating committee, and I would move this, is to strictly adhere to the midnight Eastern time adjournment. There have been more than one meeting this year alone where they have gone severely over that midnight Eastern time limit. And as a chair and having the chair and the secretary on here of the PMB, I would hope that you all would adhere to that. So I'm going to move that we stick to that, because that was a motion done a couple years ago and people forgot about it. And then I'd just rather bring it up again and saying that people should end at a midnight Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Hey, you want to make that in the form of a motion for this committee?
Yeah, that the Pacifica National Board telephonic meetings should end by no later than midnight Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Be sure and give the secretary that in writing.
Yes, I'll send it to you and to myself.
Okay. Serene, were you trying
to get
to that.
I have a point of information on that. I thought the deadline was 11:30 because it's supposed to be a three-hour max, no?
This is summer.
I've heard midnight. I don't know.
Okay, so it's supposed to be 3 hours in terms of what we actually said on the agenda. Nia Badiaka would usually remind about the midnight rule, and that was to be a time certain for ending it. I can guarantee you that the chair and the secretary, I have to say, again, as the person that got 3 hours sleep last week, I would be happy to end at midnight, but it is a collective body, and if people continue to vote to extend time, that's how we ended up going past that on several occasions. But that was at least presented to me as a former standing rule. But, you know, those can be overturned as soon as enough people vote and say, no, we're going to go past midnight. So, again, it goes back to the whole group wanting to enforce that sort of standard.
Okay, anybody else?
Well, I mean, I want to speak on the subject in general, but are we going to vote now on Brenda's motion?
We can. Is there any objection to that motion? That we got it here to the...
From here.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said not from here.
Me either. Although I have been guilty, I was sometime when... You know, when the station's going to be closed, so it's not closed, but move to that. Okay, if there's no objections to that, then I'll see if I can get it on the agenda for this coming Thursday. But it'll be, what we have is we have another a coordinated committee motion on the agenda, and I don't remember just offhand what it is, but we'll just put it on next to that one. So, if we can get to coordinating committee, we'll put that in there too. Okay, did you want to talk generally, Serene, about the subject of how, the subject is, I guess, how do we make our meetings?
I remember the subject. So. I brought it up.
No, I was just summarizing for my own sake.
So, I mean, I think I'll begin where summer stopped. Which is with the agenda, because that takes a significant amount of time. And I think it's in part because of how the agenda is created. I think that if there were more, first of all, it usually comes out on a Monday and we're meeting on a Thursday, and I can't speak to anybody else, but Monday is like a lost day for me. But... You know, it comes out and then people are putting in, you know, their suggestions or their other motions or whatever the case is. I think if we had a more collective way of creating the agenda, we would have less difficulty getting an agenda approved. So I would like to propose that. And in fact, the coordinating committee used to do just that, used to help build the agenda. So, and I just want to correct you again for the record, Summer. We did not spend 51 minutes approving the agenda. We spent 36. The call actually started 15 minutes late because a bunch of people were late. Not that 36 minutes is something to be proud of, but it's not 51. Okay, so I think we need to change the way we create the agendas. I think the agendas, and I raised this before. I don't know if I did it in the form of a motion or if we just discussed it on this committee, that the way that committee reports are dealt with is problematic. You know, we have some committees that meet twice a month and other board committees that meet once a month. I don't think anybody meets less frequently than that. But they meet it on various days, and then, you know, the board's first, the PNB's first, meeting of the month, or the meeting of the month, is the fourth Thursday. And if we were using an alphabetical formula for how committees get their stuff dealt with, it wouldn't be, I think it would be less contentious, because people would know, okay, A comes before B, and, you know, so they'll have an idea when something comes up on the agenda. It'll be predictable. There may be times when we're simply not going to be able to get through the alphabet, and there may be a pressing need to move something.
that's fine. But otherwise, what we're doing now is, you know, well, if someone sends their motion in, you know, early enough or whatever, and it gets to the secretary, I mean, there's no transparency in that process. There's no predictability. People don't understand that. I don't even know that committee chairs and secretaries have been told, hey, if you want to get your motion dealt with, the sooner you get the motion, you know, get your minutes together and send it out. Without some kind of understandable, simple, clear process, things are going to stay on the agenda for 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case is. And some of it is important. You know, so...
Serene, this is Heather. I wonder if I could just... Richard, I just want to ask her a question.
What can I finish?
Are you finished? I'm sorry.
I was.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. I apologize. I thought maybe you were finished. Go ahead.
So I think that is something that this committee can fix. Let's try it for 2 months and see if it works. If it works, we continue. If not, we'll continue to spend, you know, half an hour to an hour approving an agenda every time. Every time. I'm done now,
okay.
Heather.
Okay. Heather, were you asking to ask a question?
Yeah, I just wanted some clarification from Serene, because, Serene, you're talking about some sort of clarification of process or some kind of orientation with committee chairs. Is that what you're talking about in some ways?
No, I'm actually suggesting, well, yes and no. I'm actually suggesting that what we should be doing is using an alphabetical system for how... Are you guys hearing horrible echo?
There's some kind of background in there somewhere.
No, my background is somebody else. But if we were using a clear system, people would know, because they recognize the English alphabet, when their stuff was going to get where, going to be addressed by the board. What we use now, as I understand it from having raised this same issue previously, is that whenever Richard gets motions from the various committees, he puts them on the agenda in that order. That's not transparent to anybody. And I don't even know if that is known to the people who are sending in the committee motions. That's what I'm saying.
Did I comment?
Well, can I make sure Heather understands my response?
Sure.
Yes. Thank you, Mary. Thanks. I do. Thanks.
When the agenda started getting built and we didn't have any of this year's motions, of course, we still have those from last year, which I would like to see go away. But when we were starting to get it built and there were no committees on there, I took the ones that were sent to me and put them down on the agenda. The next ones that were sent to me, I put it down second. You know, like if the first one was election committee, I put the election committee stuff down. And then whatever committee came next. And it's not a matter of it's not a matter of the order they're sitting there waiting to be heard. It's a matter of whether the board gets on with the business and hears them and expedites each one and moves quickly through them. That's what we don't do. I mean, they're sitting there in an order. It doesn't matter what order they're in to those motions, I don't think. Now, we're not going to look at all of the, I wouldn't think, I don't know, it's up to the board, you know, all this up to the board. I would think, though, that if we went through all the, say, we went through all the coordinating committee motions, coordinating committee happened to be first because it starts with a C, I don't know what else is above A, I mean, we'll see, but then next month the coordinating committee came up with more motions than put them back in front again. I don't think that would be fair. You know, it's pretty well set right now, just like a car race getting ready to start. The cars are sitting there and they're ready to run. You know, it's just a matter of us dealing with them in an expeditious way. The biggest conglomeration of motions is elections and governance. And there are two or three others in there. But it's mostly elections and government. And personally, and this is my own personal opinion and what that's worth, some committees think that their role is to create motions. I personally don't think that's the role of committees. But
I think that's one of the roles. But I don't think that we should be trying to populate that agenda with every motion that we can think of, because, you know, we can think of millions of motions. But they're ready to go. I mean, it's not like somebody's getting preferential treatment there. Now, I will take this motion about getting finishing the business by 12 and put it next to the other coordinating committee motion so that we get into committee reports. Technically, that's committee reports. And if the committee doesn't have any motions, they don't have anything to say, then they pass. But when we get to committee reports and we get to the coordinating committee, I will bring up our two motions, and hopefully we'll get them through there quickly. But it's the board. You know, it's like Summer said, it's not a matter of factions. It's just if we move slowly and we ask a lot of questions and we don't trust anybody, so we wind up spending a lot of time.
Serene, who's next? If there's no one else.
Okay, Brenda?
Mark, you would like to be on the list.
Well, okay.
And that was Serene, not Brenda. I said after others have not yet spoken.
Okay, Margie and Serene. Okay, Margie, you want to go first?
Okay. Well, I'm interested in this question about the order. I think there was an exchange between us, Richard, around the whole question of the exit interviews, in which I learned something that I probably should have known, although maybe it should have been part of like some kind of PMB delegate orientation, that
would have been a good thing.
Motions submitted 7 days in advance get on the agenda, and that anything after that has to be voted on to be put on the agenda by the board. And I didn't know that, and so I was confused. I didn't understand why some motions seemed to get on the agenda very easily and others didn't. Now I understand that, and I certainly will keep that in mind if I decide to ever make another motion, as long as I live. But anyway, that's a separate question. I want to go back to the sort of the discussion with Summer about written reports, because in listening to her, I realize that really, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know if this is the concern of other people or not, I like written reports. I liked your, you know, the second quarter or third quarter, whatever it was, report that you sent out. That was the first one I'd ever seen. I don't know if there was a first quarter report, but it doesn't matter. I was happy with that. I had a lot of questions about it. Then I was sort of working on asking a bunch of questions about it, and I went off to Boston and didn't do it. But really what I want is that, this is what I really want. What I really want is that if Summer or Raul are going to ask that the board take an action of some kind, of any kind, I want that in writing. I want to see that ahead of time. I want to have an opportunity to think about it and to consider what the ramifications are before we get into the discussion and the debate at the board meeting. And so I'm saying that this summer because I recognize that, you know, you're incredibly overworked, although I personally believe that you should not be chair of the board because you have too much to do and someone else should do that role. You hear the echo? I can hear the echo.
Yeah, can y'all mute your phone so that
I don't know. Anyway, but you know, it's clear to me that you don't want to step down from the chair role and other people don't want you to, and I think that's unfortunate because I think it sort of gets things get tangled up when you're doing both things, being the IED and being the chair at the same time. I think that gets muddy and confused, and we spin our wheels in that a lot. But if that's the way the situation is continue to be, then what I really want is what I said, which is that if the board is going to be asked to take action, that those action proposals come to us in writing before we have to vote on them.
Richard, this is Summer.
Summer, I think Serene's ahead of you. I wanted to comment. I'll make one comment about the agendas coming. Yeah, that seven-day thing is for individuals. But committees, I take committee motions up to the day or, you know, just whenever I can work them in. If one of the committee chairs sends me something or calls me and says, can you put this on our, you know, for our, under our committee, I'd do it. So stuff is coming in different times at all times. You know, it's strange. Serene, did you want to comment?
I can let Summer respond to Margie so we don't break the continuity. That's fine.
Okay. Summer?
Thank you. To respond to what you said, Margie, I think it's reasonable to ask to have some notice on action items if they're not something that is like, you know, where it's just happened the day before and we don't have an opportunity to do so. So I will do my best to accommodate that to see that I can at least put, even if it's just short bullet points as to what it is we need you to take action on in advance of the meeting so that people can give that some thought and if they have questions, be able to prepare themselves, okay? And so that makes sense and is fair. So I will try to take that into consideration to at least give you short notes in advance. And sometimes that's what I'm saying on some of those things where I've sent in a lot of stuff in advance, which were relative to action items, and I didn't notice that it had much salutary effect, but hopefully it does sometimes, okay. And I will point out that from my perspective, at least, sometimes I feel purposely sabotaged by certain actions of certain people on the board. I will, without getting into the details in an open stream, but remind everyone that prior to our February board meeting that week when I would have been preparing my report, which is what I was working on, and I instead had to deal with a huge data breach, employment issue, and all of it was aimed at me. And so instead of being able to write a good report for the board on the business of the foundation, basically turned into a huge legal problem for the organization because certain directors are committed towards attacking me. And that, instead of being able to provide for all of the directors meaningful information preparatory to our in-person board meeting, I had to deal with something that impacted on dozens of foundation employees. And I feel there needs to be some responsibility for actions which are taken. And that doesn't – I'm not speaking of anyone here present, so – but I'm just saying sometimes my inability to go completely without sleep so that I can deal with an emergency that has been created by director interference, at the exact same time, I'm also obligated to produce things for the benefit of the entire organization, and of course that makes it very difficult to do so. So, but for your request in terms of action items, I will do my best to do that, Margie.
Thank you.
I appreciate that too, Summer, all the advance that I can get, you know, when I'm writing stuff down, it helps me too. Serene, did you have something?
Yes, thanks. So a couple of things, including the question about how much, what time we intend to end this meeting.
This one?
Uh-huh.
Hopefully not too late.
That's nice and vague. Okay, it's 9:13 here, 9:18.
We'll be through by midnight.
Yeah, better be done by 10.
Okay.
So, Margie, I too remember only getting that one report, and you know, Summer, it seems to me that each time you talk about the work involved, that you actually make the case for why you should not be holding two jobs. And you know, you really need to reconsider that, because I am uncomfortable without having background information. And even that report was sent in the middle of a meeting. It mixed both open and closed things, and so it really could not have been addressed at the meeting. Nothing we received during a meeting can effectively, for me, you know, maybe other people are able to concentrate better on three different things happening at once. But I, unless it's a short motion that we're reading during the meeting, we shouldn't be getting information during the meeting that we're expected to act on at that meeting. And I think it's important because we are making decisions that affect the future of the network and affect the lives of the people working and the listenership. It's important that we have some of what they call a facts on the ground, you know, when we're ready to make when we're ready to vote. And it should not be a matter of someone trying to remember what was said on the 6th of the month as opposed to what might have been said on the 20th of the month or, you know, the following month. Provide the facts in writing. There should be a basis for our actions that anyone can, you know, review, reflect upon, use as a basis for maybe bringing a motion to do something different. If all we have is my recollection of what was said, or I have to listen to a three-hour meeting to try to find, you know, the three words that make a difference, that's not how people operate in real life, in business that's supposed to be effective. So somehow, you know, and I don't care what mechanism is used to achieve it, but we have to get regular written reports. And because it's not just the amount of time that we spend dealing with the agenda, I want to return to what we were talking about before, it's not just the amount of time that we spend dealing with it, it's the energy that is, the negative energy that is so often generated. You know, where people bring a motion for something and other people start mumbling and, I mean, come on, way past fourth grade. You know, so let's have a collective approach to preparing an agenda. Let's put in a system that everyone can recognize and understand. You know, otherwise we're going to just continue doing this dance at every meeting. It means that you're frustrated before you even begin to work together. What use is that?
Yeah. Anybody else?
Teresa here.
Oh, hi, Teresa. Brenda, you marked down Teresa as Gaither.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and write that in. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Teresa, what's up?
So, are you saying, Serene, that you want us to, like, the coordinating committee to develop the agenda, like, now?
No. See, let me give you an update on what we're doing. We just have two things that we had asked everybody to come back about information about audio and phone conferences, and that we're going to talk about that in a minute here. Right now, we're talking about the PNB meetings and how we can maybe make those more effective, more speed them up a little, get more done, stuff like that.
Let me say this.
Teresa, I would answer your question by saying yes. That is what I'm talking about.
Well, I heard you talking about reports, and you talked about a collective developing of the agenda. Let me say this. Ursula Rudenberg has gone to the effort of creating reports and we have delivered them to people before the meeting and at the meeting, and they were very attractive, and I must say that 77373, I don't think people even read them. And in fact, I've even mailed them to people because I said, do you still have it? And they said, no, could you get it to me? Because I said, it's so interesting. And they had obviously misplaced it.
Does everybody understand who Ursula is? Ursula is the director of our affiliates program.
Yeah, we know she is.
Okay.
So I guess part of the problem is there a motivation to read them? I mean, I try not to give things to people that actually wouldn't be useful. I don't ask her or anybody to produce reports just for fun, because it's hard work for an overworked staff.
This is one more time, Richard.
Who is that?
This is Brenda.
I'll let Brenda go.
Okay. I want to point out one thing that I don't know if y'all noticed this, but it happened. The ED and the CFO reports are only on the original agenda. Once we go through them, like on the second, we have a continuation meeting, which we apparently always have. That isn't on there. Now, it's different in the executive session because there's specific stuff that people are asking about and requirements to report on and stuff in there. But I hear what you guys are saying about written reports, and I would maybe flinch about them if we were talking about a long thing, but to me, if a person is supposed to give a written whatever, it doesn't usually say how long it has to be. I mean, it could be a paragraph, it could be a page. Hopefully, it won't be a book. But sometimes I think, well, heck, go ahead and write out something and get it afterward. You can read it. But Brenda, did you want to be on the SAC?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Hello?
Go for it.
Okay. So I understand that Summer and Raul are management. And as far as I know, in working in a variety of different jobs, management should always provide a report to its board of directors because that's what they do. The board of directors hire you, and you as management need to manage the organization, right? Now, sometimes the job may not be as squeaky clean or as 9-to-5 as we'd like it to be, but that's the life of the nonprofit world and most of the progressive movement. And it's difficult when, and I'm going to say it on both, I'm not just saying Summer. With Raul, we finally got the audit report from the audit committee, and that was great. I'd like to see financial reports on a monthly basis as well, upcoming in the future. And that should be something standard that the board of directors should be able to rely on a physical form versus just lip service from a managerial person. It's something that we expect of our GM at KPFK, and it's what I want to expect from my ED and my CFO from Pacifica. That's it.
On a stack, Richard?
Sure. Who was that?
Summer.
Summer?
Okay, I'm going to say the last I've got to say on this subject. I've gone through my emails. I've sent 177 items with attachments to the board. I'm not even counting all the things that didn't have an attachment. Every single one of those attachments has a written narrative attached to it. Because I don't call each thing a report doesn't mean you're not getting reporting on what's going on. I think if I did far less work, I could undoubtedly prepare more reports. We're not talking about the typical life of the nonprofit here. We're talking about a grossly understaffed organization in which I take my job very seriously. I'm paid 20% less than my predecessor, so I'm underpaid for a job where I don't have a secretary, where I didn't have a CFO for 9 months, where I'm personally going through the tax returns and making corrections, where we don't have HR that is sufficient, where we don't have any legal counsel. Even when we had legal counsel, we didn't have any help in multiple jurisdictions. So I have to fly and take red eyes to represent us in court. I have to look up the labor laws in New York to handle severance and payouts. If I were doing just my job, I could very easily provide you with more reports. It is the very fact that I pitch it covering so many other jobs, figuring out programming grids, figuring out what bills haven't been paid at radio stations because their managers don't keep track of them. If this were just the executive director's job, it would be a manageable job. And I would appreciate that every time I sent 9 things in one day, attachments, all of which had written narratives attached to them. I got zero feedback from anybody on anything to do with any of those. So it isn't that you don't get things in writing from me. You get things in writing from me on a regular basis. Every time there's something going on, you get stuff in writing. And you frequently get it with a narrative, with an attachment of something that the board needs to consider. I had to force the board to deal with the New York situation by saying either the board comes to a decision to address the situation or I will be dealing with it without any board input. But it isn't because, I mean, I'm kind of tired of getting beat up over this, okay? My predecessor didn't get beat up over this. I was harassed mercilessly the week that we had the in-person meeting, so I could not produce the report I expected to have produced for the in-person meeting where it's expected. I produced a nice long IED report at the beginning of my tenure, but that was before the board turned over, so I don't expect all the new board members to have it. But when I'm actually having to go back to see how many times have I sent things to the board, and it says, see the report on this, but it doesn't say, this is the executive director's report. That's silly that I have to label it like that to be acknowledged for communicating with the board about things that are going on in terms of business. And I resent the implication that management isn't doing its job when, by any normal workplace standard, management is doing the job of at least 3 people if you're talking about this particular person in management. Okay, I haven't taken any vacation days. I literally worked through my birthday on Sunday. And I'm just kind of, I understand the need to have things prior to making decisions on them, but this as like the dead horse to beat this week, I'm completely exhausted and over it, okay? I just am. I will send you stuff to the best of my ability on the insufficient sleep that I get while going from one troubled station to the next trying to fix all the problems that are going on there while they are burning to the ground with difficulties, because that's what's really going on in this network.
Teresa for the stack. Teresa for the stack.
No, I understand the need to have stuff before you vote on it. I really do get that you need that, and I do know that you need to have financial reports and all of that. But when I go back look at what I've actually sent this board, I do send quite a bit to the board about what we're actually doing, and I get no feedback whatsoever on actual decision-making about some of the more serious things confronting us. I have to say I am asking you for a decision before anybody weighs in on it. I'm done.
Summer? No, this isn't a motion. We're just talking about what we might do to make those meetings better. I think I heard a couple of people in the back. If you're through, Summer, I'll go on.
I'm beyond through, Richard. I have nothing further to say on this, but that I do acknowledge the need of board members to have sufficient data to make informed decisions, and I will do my best to do that.
Okay, I'll read the report.
Teresa.
And then Serene.
Teresa, Serene, anybody else on the... Okay, Teresa?
You know, I think that you were seriously challenged and still are seriously... by the fact that we have limited staff and we have had in the past obstructive prima donnas and people that didn't. I mean, just the fact that, like, we're supposed to have our budgets and people are dragging their feet is a problem, and people in denial. I saw something in the Chronicle the other day about the Housing Authority in Houston, and they had put someone else in charge of it, and they had someone in there that was ousted, was removed, and it took the new financial person several months and still didn't have financials. But we're going to get the reports from Raul, or Raul will leave. You know, he will be gone if he doesn't know how to produce these reports. The question is, when do we put our foot down and say we have to have these things, especially for him. And is his when is his trial period? When is that over?
For point of order. Probably discuss those specific personnel issues in a closed
point
session.
Of order.
Okay.
No, but that's
point
not
of order, Chair. Richard.
We lost Richard.
Okay, so
I can address those concerns.
I'm not saying anything critical about Raul. I am not saying anything critical about Raul.
Teresa, just a minute. And I'm sorry I was muted there. But Serene, I think, said a point of order. What was your point of order, Serene?
Yeah, I believe that we're about to enter the zone of an assessment. And I would urge the member to be extremely careful.
I am being careful. I'm not talking about specifics, and I'm not being critical at all. I'm saying that I do expect the CFO and the ED to produce reports, and our IED, if you are producing a report, I think you should... The first word in the subject line should be report, colon, and
okay.
and what it is. Okay.
All right.
So, you know, if you have to send it again, report second copy, you know.
Point of order, I agree with Serene that we just need to be careful about when we're talking about personnel stuff. And I think you understand that, don't you, Teresa?
Yes, I do, and as I said,
okay,
I was not being critical. Because you just brought this up, I think we as board members have to walk a very fine line between what is actually like bugging the hell out of our staff and asking them to send things repeatedly and like getting the reports and not reading them, you know. So. You know, I'm walking a fine line between being patient and trying to be specific about what is really essential that I have to conduct my portion of business as a board member.
Okay, understand. Serene, you were on the stack.
Yes, thanks. Okay, so I don't think there's anything wrong with being critical, because I think criticism, when constructive, can actually work well for everyone. So my charge, if I may use that term, Teresa, was not that you were being critical. There's nothing wrong with criticizing someone if it improves, you know, the workflow for everyone. But, you know, and I don't want to belabor it, and we didn't make a motion. I just asked for a discussion because I'm just tired of, you know, meeting every 2 weeks. It costs money, and it costs energy, and we don't get as much as we need to do done. So that's why I raised the discussion. But I do think that it is inaccurate, regardless of her intention, for Summer to say that, you know, first of all, every email is not a report. Sending a document that has been requested doesn't constitute a report. And I will undertake the task of looking around on the internet for how a simple report, you know, can be prepared, because we do need to have regular information. And it is not accurate to say that the board has been informed in a timely manner of everything that's important. Because, for example, we were on the board, the last call that you referenced, where we actually took 36 minutes to approve the agenda, although you keep saying 51, that we met that evening, and the next day you introduced Andrew Phillips as the interim program director at WBAI. You had not discussed that with the LSB. You had not discussed that with the PNB. I would think that's important information, and that is only one. That is simply the most recent that I know of, the most recent development that you did not choose to inform the full board of in a timely manner. So I get that you're stressed.
I get that you're doing a lot of work. And I will repeat, every time you talk, you make the case for why you should not be doing both jobs, or both tasks, because I realize the board job is not a paid job. But it's a lot of work, and it needs to be done, and it needs to be done properly. And, you know, please, please stop saying you tell us everything, because, in fact, you may tell members of the board lots of things, but you do not tell the board everything, every important development. Obviously, you can't tell us every piece of paper that crosses your desk. There are way too many things that are crucial to the operation of this institution that we do not hear about from you until weeks and sometimes months after the fact. Please.
I'm sorry, Richard. I hate to keep asking to be acknowledged. This is Summer.
Summer, okay.
Okay. I will point out that AWBAI did not even come up for discussion, even though, again, I point out I was going into union negotiations, which everyone knew were probably final union negotiations the next day, and there wasn't a single question about what I was doing at WBAI, which I was actually surprised about. I do not think that necessarily those types of management decisions regarding personnel, I would have gladly told what was going on if we'd even gotten into WBAI, but that isn't the type of thing that's brought to the board, who I hire on an interim basis or send in, or the manager hires on an interim basis. None of that is necessarily, those aren't the things that the board makes decisions on. So that isn't quite the same as some other things. And you keep going back to the chair, and I will reiterate again, the reason I am so overstressed is not because I'm the chair and the executive director. It's because I'm the executive director handling many paid positions that aren't here, handling tasks which are not normally expected to be handled by the executive director, of a job function nature, dealing with employees, things for which you are expected to have additional subordinate staff. It's that simple. I never once mentioned anything to do with being chair. Every single thing I've illustrated are paid position tasks that we don't have anybody handling, so I handle them. So I will point out that my stress is related to understaffing, underpaying, and frankly just being stretched too thin in an organization which is stretched quite thin in terms of its staff resources. And so I would like to stop having that inference made when, in fact, what I list are tasks that need to be handled by people who are being paid, and we don't have enough of them doing them, and that's why there is so much work to be done by the few people that are here.
I think that this being the coordinating committee, I think we need to step back a little from this, where we're coming down pretty strong on the IED, and I don't think this is the forum for that. I want to say one thing. This is kind of a change. And I think I heard Marty say this somewhere in her comment about training. And I think we were not well served by the last board getting us in 2 months late and then throwing a whole bunch of stuff that was left over at us. And I hope we don't do that to the next board. And I hope that when this is turned over, and hopefully in a timely manner in January, I hope we do set aside support training so that some of this confusion, like Serene's talking about, folks who didn't understand how things got on the agenda and things like that. Hopefully we can do better for the next board than was done for us, and train the people and let them know what to look for and what their responsibilities are, you know, because a lot of people are kind of just sitting there. They would like to do something, but they don't want to step on anybody's toes, but they're ready to go. And then if they sit there long enough and they don't get to do anything, then they kind of drift. And so I think if we can concentrate on that transition between this board and the next board and help them know their role better, I think that can help with the whole operation. And like I said, I hope we remember that in the fall when we start getting ready to put that meeting together. Sound like I'm looking forward to it. Okay, y'all want to get into
any information that we got on the video conferencing. Is there anything else that anybody wanted to say about meetings or expedited case?
This is Teresa. Can I say something about the video conferencing?
You can. Let me kind of give a lead in on it. I was gonna. Heather had talked to some people about the California code stuff, and she got back with them apparently and sent us an email here an hour ago that has California code stuff on it. And I was going to ask her if she would like to go through that first, and then Teresa, I'll put you down on the stack after Heather. Heather, you there?
Yes, I am.
You want to talk about your information about...
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I apologize that you all are just getting this. I was hoping I'd be able to talk with Peter Frank again before meeting with the...
Who is Peter Frank?
With the coordinating committee. However, hold on. Let me get this in front of me.
Who's Peter Frank? That's your...
He's an attorney. In California.
California.
So some of the folks, I think Margie knows him. I don't know. Margie,
yeah.
You know him, right?
Oh, yeah, about 50 years I've known him.
Yeah, 50 cool. years you've known Peter Frank. So, and he was actually referred to me by a friend here in Alabama, actually. So, now, I had mentioned to you all that I had read something about calls being a substitute for in-person meetings, and I can't find everything that I'd read about this, but I had looked also at California Code, and I more recently went to the California Code again, which I know is what we do need to look at as far as our bylaws are concerned. So this first of all, I want to share with you what it says in the California Code, and then share with you that what Peter Frank sent to me, and I included that in the email as well. So I want to go to, if you all have this in front of you, if you don't, I'm just going to read some of this. This is section 5211 of the California Code. It says, members of a board may participate in a meeting through use of conference, telephone, electronic video screen communication, or other communications equipment. Participation in a meeting through use of conference telephone pursuant to this subdivision constitutes presence in person at that meeting as long as all members participating in a meeting are able to hear one another. Participation in a meeting through use of electronic video screen communication or other communications equipment other than conference telephone pursuant to this subdivision constitutes presence in person at that meeting if all of the following apply. Each member participating in the meeting can communicate with all of the other members concurrently. Each member is provided the means of participating in all matters before the board, including without limitation the capacity to propose or to interpose an objection to a specific action to be taken by the corporation. The corporation adopts and implements some means of verifying both of the following. A person participating in the meeting is a director or other person entitled to participate in the board meeting. All actions of or votes by the board are taken or cast only by the directors and not by the persons who are not directors. Now, when I read this, I thought, okay, so to me what this says is that provided you have certain criteria in place, as mentioned in this bylaw provision, that would then constitute an in-person meeting. I don't know if you all got that from that code. I did. However, Peter Frank said that does not, well, let me read what he says. Heather, the section you quote below parallels Article 6, Section 3 of the Pacifica bylaws. I don't think there is any doubt that the Pacifica board can hold telephone meetings. That is not the same question as what the consequence would be of failing to follow the bylaw provision of 4 in-person meetings a year. as I mentioned to you, it seems that the consequences of not holding these four in-person meetings is minimal, unless someone brings a lawsuit to compel them. And in that case, I think, and this field is not my specialty, as you know, the court would have very wide discretion. And when you're talking about very wide discretion, if someone chose to challenge Pacifica in court that we didn't hold these four in-person meetings, he said that that the discretion by the judge would probably be kind to Pacifica if it were, for example, because of financial issues. It's just something that we couldn't do. So in any case, this is not really definitive, it seems to me, but I did want to share with you all what I wanted to share with you information from the California Courts Code, certainly, and just these brief comments from Peter Frank. I think we need to talk with another attorney about this, I think, or Peter has offered to let us have more of an in-depth dialogue with him about some of this. But so I don't know where this places us on this question, but does anybody have any comments about it? Or Richard, I don't know how you want to proceed with this. Does everyone have this email in front of them at this point?
This is Teresa. Okay. I don't have it in front of me, but I think that's very interesting, useful information. And what I especially like about it is that the way you worded it, you were just reading what he said, correct?
Yes, I'm reading what Peter said, yes. Right.
Sounded
well,
like,
she read part of the law. That was part of the law.
And I was reading the California Code, Teresa. I was reading directly from the California Code,
which I sent out
to everyone.
But didn't you read something from the attorney, and he was saying...
I read something from the attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I like the way he reworded his response. It sounded like he was conscientious about our needs. And I have to say that at times when I've heard some responses from counsel on this board, and I'm not saying which person, it sounded like they hadn't done their homework, or they were actually like making it hard on us, giving us more hoops to jump through. I think we've got a real problem here, and he's saying, I think he's giving very practical advice to us. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other comments?
This is Margie. The only thing I agree with Teresa, basically, the only thing I would say is that this, as Peter says himself in his note to you, this is not his area of expertise, and I think we ought to talk to somebody whose expertise it is, and I don't know who that is. So,
yeah, I'm not sure who that is. I'm not sure who that is either. So,
is Mr. Frank in the Bay Area?
I'm sorry?
Is Mr. Frank in the Bay Area?
Yes.
Peter Frank?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could get some guidance on that.
Yeah. I think, I think maybe you could ask him. The thing is that if we go to somebody who is an expert in this area, the chances are we might have to pay that person. You know, I'm not sure that there are any friendly attorneys out there.
And we want to focus just on these meetings. That's what we're talking about.
And that would be somebody, I think, who does nonprofit law and who's would be concerned with making sure that the nonprofits they represent adhere to the California Code. I'd be willing to contact Peter or someone else and see if we can find somebody who might do it on a pro bono basis. And failing that, maybe get an estimate for what it would cost to talk to somebody. I don't know.
Could you do that and bring it to the next meeting, please?
Sure. Summer, do any of the lawyers you're in touch with do that kind of law? I know you've talked about being in...
No, I don't have any nonprofit lawyers, really, that would
okay.
be help, The corporate counsel I can access and a bunch of other things, but
Teresa,
I don't
see
one that I think would be better qualified.
Okay.
Teresa here. What about asking somebody at NFCB?
Well, that's an interesting
idea. That's a good idea. Maybe we should reach out to Janice.
Okay.
Because they might have similar problems.
Sure.
How about the ACLU or some other organization that might also have the issue of board meetings that might have a similar issue, and maybe like trial attorneys some national organization that has attorneys in it that might actually have a similar situation.
Let me poke around a little bit and see what I can come up with. The other thing that concerns me, and I didn't see it mentioned in the exchange between Heather and Peter, what is the question of, one of the reasons we hold in-person meetings is so that people from the local area can come and personally address the board. And I don't know how you deal with that in a telephonic meeting. Like, is it possible to have people, I guess the board meets in a room and then you invite people at a certain time to come in and speak? Do we let people from all five stations speak? That would seem to me to be like a kind of overwhelming. Do we pretend like the telephonic meeting is replacing a meeting in Houston or New York or Berkeley or LA, and therefore we invite people from that local station? Anyway, it just seems to me that that's something we need to work out.
Teresa,
put this back. We need to work it out. That's true.
I have Richard. I also have something I'd like to say, so I'll follow Teresa.
Is that Heather?
Yes.
Okay, Teresa.
If you were on the personnel committee at our last meeting, we did a video conferencing, and it was set up by a friend of mine, Charlie Lindahl, and we had about seven people on. We could see everybody, except I think one of the people on the conference call chose not to have their face revealed. Maybe she was wearing curlers. I don't know. Or maybe she was...